Just a few thoughts here. There's a lot of Jewish things that go on in the Bible that we're not used to or even comfortable with. You read Leviticus here, such as we just read, we're almost not comfortable reading that. And I sat there and I debated, should I even read that? And yet, it's in the Bible. And I thought, wow, you know, all these Jewish things that we're not used to. You know, and one of the Jewish things that we're confronted with this evening is this idea of purification. Purification. This is actually the second time that Jesus came to the temple. And he was only 40 days old. The first time was at 8 days for his circumcision. Dad, what's circumcision? Is the phone ringing? You know, have your mom tell you. Or mom, what's circumcision? It's an uncomfortable thing to try and explain. Yet it's in the Bible. 8 days, Jesus came for circumcision. And then 40 days he came, was presented in the temple for this thing called purification. Okay, Mary had to be purified. Smacks of not being pure. What was this all about? Well, the Jewish woman had to, after having this child, the first 7 days she was considered unclean. And then after the eighth day, the circumcision, she was in a different status. But the next 33 days, up to 40 days, she could not touch anything holy. To fix that, she had to go to the temple and bring an offering for purification. And the offering could be a couple of turtle doves, a couple of pigeons, or one pigeon, one bird, one turtle dove, and a lamb. But if you couldn't afford a lamb, you could bring two turtle doves. Now, these are all things we're not used to. How many of you came to the church here with a couple of turtle doves to make a burnt offering on the altar when your child was born? Probably none of you. How many of you brought a lamb to do that? Probably none of you. You see, these are all Jewish things that are in the past. They've been fulfilled by Jesus. But, you know, it brings up odd questions. Why did the woman have to be purified? Well, what just happened? A birth took place. And a birth is a joyful thing. Last week we had a birth in the congregation, the Nutter family, just beaming with joy at this new baby. And it was just a wonderful scene in a hospital room. They're all smiling and couldn't be happier. Just a wonderful thing. And yet, what happens at a birth? This thing called original sin is passed on. Original sin is passed on. Even though it's a joyful moment, you're perpetuating the sin of the world. Okay? Purification was needed. Okay? And I always thought, well, why pick on the woman, God? Why is it just the woman that had to do something? Well, remember, the counterpart was circumcision. And it reminds us that through the entire birth process, original sin is passed on. And purification, forgiveness needs to be made for that. And so Mary shows up for this Jewish rite. And because they didn't have enough money, Mary and Joseph were probably poor, they didn't bring a lamb. They brought a couple of birds, turtle doves. But there is an irony in it. Well, the fact that they didn't have the lamb showed that, you know, the humility of the whole situation. And it points to the state of humility of Christ and how he humbled himself and came to this world, emptying himself of his power. But the irony of the whole situation was they did have the lamb. They did have the lamb. They had the real lamb who would provide the ultimate purification of both male and female, the ultimate answer to original sin, the ultimate answer to all of the things that bother us and plague us in this world, sin. And so Jesus, yeah, is the Lamb. He is the Lamb. And it reminds us of John the Baptist's words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Anytime we hear John the Baptist call Jesus that, he's talking about sacrifice. This is the one that's going to be sacrificed. He's going to be sacrificed for the sinners of the world. He's going to go to a cross for us all to take away our sins. And this was shown at 8 days in Jesus' own circumcision, the first spilling of blood. It pointed also to the cross, where he would spill his blood ultimately for the sins of the world. So the good news is Jesus has come and he's fulfilled all these Jewish things, so we don't have to do these things anymore. Not under God's law, not under Moses' law. Jesus fulfilled them. And you go to Galatians 4, he was born under the law. Not only did he fulfill the ceremonial law, but he also fulfilled the ethical law. He also fulfilled the Ten Commandments, kept them all to perfection for us who couldn't do it. So in Jesus, we have the one who releases us from the curse of the law. So all these Jewish things, we're almost relieved that we don't have to do these anymore. We're almost relieved. In fact, we are relieved. And in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's taken care of all these things, and he's given us salvation by fulfilling all of God's law for us. What a blessing we have in him. So.